Welcome back to Psukeha Daf. We are looking at Shabbos Daf Nun Hei. This Daf has a number of Psukim, no less than 25, and we're going to be focusing on the first section, which really takes up the bulk of Amud Aleph. And those are the Psukim at the beginning of Perek Tes in Sefer Yechezkel, and the Gemara is focusing on these Psukim, which describe how Yechezkel is seeing these angels painting a Taf, the letter Taf, on their heads of the Rishoyim and the Tzaddikim, and how the Midas Adin is saying that even the Tzaddikim should die in this circumstance because they did not, they didn't reprimand, they did not rebuke the people, even though perhaps the people would not have listened. Just to put things into context, this whole episode that the Gemara is describing, which is a very terrifying moment, the Gemara goes on to describe when the end of Schus Avos was, when the Bris Avos needs to take effect. One thing to appreciate is, when is this going on? What is going on in Yechezkel Perek Tes? What is going on is a very sad, sad moment in Jewish history. You see, Yechezkel was not a prophet in the land of Eretz Israel. Yechezkel was exiled, and it sounds like before he prophesied, because we don't have prophecies from beforehand, he was exiled in the Golus Yechonia. Remember, there were two stages of Golus. First, under Yechonia, 10,000 of the greatest, of the most astute of the nation of Israel were taken from Yerushalayim to Bavel, including the king. And then Bavel replaced the king with what they felt would be a puppet king. They felt it would be somebody who would do their biddings, whose name was Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Ultimately, Tzidkiyahu was not a puppet king. He fought against Bavel, which brought about the downfall of the Beis HaMikdash. Tzidkiyahu was caught in a very difficult position. But be it as it may, Yechezkel was one of those people who was exiled before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to Babylon. Which is why when you read the prophecies of Yechezkel, you understand that he starts talking about prophecies on the Nahar Kvar, that's up north. What is also fascinating is that the people he is talking to are not the people that Yirmiyahu, his contemporary, is speaking to. Yirmiyahu is currently living in the land of Israel, speaking to the people of Israel. Yechezkel is living in the land of Bavel, speaking to the Jews already in Bavel pre-destruction. Very complicated era in Jewish history. At this point, this is described at this point in time, starting with Perek Ches, actually, in Yechezkel, where he has a nightly journey. We're told that it's Ani Yoshev Bevesi, V'zikne Yehuda Yoshev Melofonai, V'tipol Olai Shom Hashem Elokim. He has this vision while he's sitting with the elders of Yehuda, and he has this incredible episode where he is literally pulled by his hair, and taken, and is pulled all the way along to see Yerushalayim from the top. And what is interesting is he comes to Yerushalayim, and it's almost like he's floating there above Yerushalayim, and he's witnessing scenes which are unfolding underneath him. He sees there's a hole in the wall. He looks through the hole in the wall, and he sees that there are all these terrible, creepy crawlies growing, which are consuming this, all the different types of Avodah Zorah that the nation of Israel were serving. And then he goes on to hear about people, all kinds of terrible atrocities which are going on in the Beis HaMikdash. There are women who are crying about Vivakos Ala Tammuz. They're crying either about Avodah Zorah, or they are crying about a false prophet who was killed, whose name was Tammuz. And then he goes on and he sees that people are getting up in the Beis HaMikdash. And he sees a group of 25 people who turn their back to the Heichal, to the Mikdash, and they start praying eastwards. Eastwards is because they're bowing down to the sun. In the Beis HaMikdash, they are bowing down to the sun. This is what Yechezkel is witnessing. Now, whether this is unfolding in front of his eyes, or is the prophecy of what has been happening in the past, be it as it may, this is what he is seeing. It is into this context that Perek Tes begins. Perek Tes then describes about these six men who arrive from the Shar HaElyon, and they have in their hands the Keses HaSofer B'Mosnov. They have this accounting tablet, which is now going to be taken down. And clearly these are angels of destruction, as the Gemara in Shabbos is describing to us. That's the first thing that happens in the Perek. It's important when learning the Gemara to see which Psukim come first and which Psukim come last. In this case, the second set of Psukim are discussed first in the Gemara. That's when they start labeling the different people. That's when there's this discussion between the Midas Adin and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to who's to be killed. ultimately, going into Perek 10 is when the prophecy gets more intense, and that's when there's a description of the angels literally taking coals out of under the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the witnessing of the vision of the destruction of Yerushalayim, which Yechezkel witnesses from afar in this prophecy. So just to put things into context, ironically speaking, this is the precursor to the destruction which is being unfolding, and Yechezkel is watching it from on top, so to speak, from the bird's eye view, as he sees first the atrocities, and then he sees the response. It does sound very harsh when you read this Gemara, understanding that even the tzaddikim are being castigated over here, but it's important to understand the context in which this is happening. This is really the end. There's no more space left. At this point in time, destruction is imminent, and that's what Yechezkel is witnessing. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.